This is Brendan Dillon, defenseman with the Winnipeg Jets. You're listening to the Front Row Podcast.
This show is brought to you by Esdaile Printing. For nearly 40 years, Esdaile has been your source for banners, decals, signs, and your company needs. Check them out at 207 DeBatt Street in Winnipeg or online at esdaileprinting.com. You can also follow them on Twitter at Esdaile Printing or on Facebook.
Welcome back to the Front Row Podcast with Don Ross. I have JT, Jamie Thomas, back on. Welcome.
Hey, buddy. How's it going? You know what? I've been calling you Don for so long, I keep forgetting I could call you Don.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. That is, if that is your real name, if we want to go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is my podcast name. It's Don.
Yeah. And so, draft next week, July 7th and 8th. It's kind of weird. They have it on a Thursday, Friday this year instead of Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, I think, too, a lot more people are paying attention, right? Because it's Saturday, you're busy, it's the summertime, lots of things are going on. So it's almost like stealing the page from the NFL's book where you, like, hijack Thursday, Friday primetime. I know Friday will be during the day for the most part, but the most, you know, like, you get a lot of eyes on Thursday nights. So I think it's a while. I don't know if the NHL will do this going forward, but just to keep those TV audiences and to have people's attention, I think is important. And I like the Thursday, Friday setup. And I mean, from a personal standpoint, you get the weekend off still. So it's nice that way for those of us that have to work the draft.
And the Jets have 2 picks in the first round.
Yeah, you know, I think it was 2015, 2016, they had the first round picks. And I know the one year they had Patrick Laine and Logan Stanley. That one turned out right. Then there was Kyle Connor and Jack Roslovic, I believe, in 2015. So I think for the most part, you know, those picks have turned out. And I know Jack Roslovic and Patrick Laine are no longer with the organization. We all know what Kyle Connor is. Logan Stanley had a tough second year in the NHL, but we all know what he did in the first year. And I think that, you know, he's going to get better. It was just everyone has kind of that sophomore slump for the most part. So I think Logan Stanley will fit in just nicely. So it's a great place to be if you're the Jets. Now you have some, you can use maybe that later pick to trade. You can use the 14th overall pick to trade. I don't know. Or you take both and stock up your prospects, right? So it gives the Jets some versatility on that first day of the draft. And I remember going to the 2018 draft in Dallas. It was so boring because the Jets didn't have a pick. And it was a little slow going. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think it's going to be a lot of newsworthy things happening possibly on that first day of the NHL draft.
Yeah, and the Jets having a draft party on the 7th at the Rec Room, and Sandberg and Perfetti are kind of hosting it, I believe.
Yeah, Sandberg and Perfetti, I think, went on that fishing trip too. So they're getting roped into everything at this point. So listen, if you're at the Rec Room, you're going to see a physical specimen that Dylan Sandberg is. Great guy. Cole Perfetti, you know, it's nice to see him moving around. You're hoping that, you know, he's fully healthy when training camp breaks in September, because, you know, there's going to be some movement. I'm not sure Paul Stastny is coming back. So clearly there's a space for him up front for the Jets and that way. And clearly, I don't think he's going back to the Manitoba Moose. So Cole Perfetti's going to get a lot of time. And then there's that whole mystery, you know, what are Jets going to do with their six and seven defensemen? Is going to be Logan Stanley and Dylan Sandberg platooning throughout the year? That's something to keep an eye on, but great to see those two players. Of course, Perfetti, a first round pick, and Dylan Sandberg, a second round pick as well. So it'll be nice to see them. I'm sure Jets fans will be thrilled to see them as well at the Rec Room on draft night.
Yeah, and every year they have a different location. So I went to the one they had at City Place before lockdown. I think it was 2019, I believe. And, and they had Noje there and Stanley there.
Nelson Noje, what a great guy. So I mean, that's if you're there that day, that's a big bonus, because I have all the time in the world for Nelson Oje. And same thing too, right? It's you, Logan Stanley, great guy as well. So I appreciate these draft parties, because it's just such an exciting time. You know, if you're a Jets fan, you've been waiting for some news to happen. Now that's, you know, maybe there's a new head coach before then. But on those days, something, it's, you know, you get to see one of the newest players, and maybe possibly two of the newest players, is going to be welcomed into the Jets organization. And also the other exciting part about this too, Donald, is the fact that it's back to normal, right? It's not just by Zoom draft picks. It's just really hard to replicate the excitement of draft day when you're, all the picks are coming from via Zoom, and you're trying to put that through on television. It's just so much better when it's the real thing, and the kids are walk down, you know, hug their parents and go up to the stage and put on the jersey. It's just, there's nothing that can replace that at all. And I know some players will, you know, love the idea of being around their family and friends, and there's 40 people in the house. It's an exciting time, but I still think that whole thing, the going down, walking up, putting the jersey on, getting a team photo taken, getting taken in the back room, getting those, your hockey card taken and all that stuff, and all the social media things, that's just, it's really hard to replace that. And we're so glad the NHL is back to normal, and especially what a great city, right? In Montreal in July, it's really hard to beat that.
Yes. Me and a couple of friends went down to the 2011 draft in St. Mm-hmm. Paul, and it was like,
yeah,
it was great experience to go down there and watch to watch the draft, and it's the first one back when Washington Trifligan drafted, and
it's great. Like, I mean, you'll never forget that. So it's, you're not going to have anybody saying from 20 and 21, oh man, where were you when you watched the draft and it was on Zoom? No, that sucks. That's like, it was so brutal. And God loves Sportsnet and NHL Network and ESPN trying their best to make it as, you know, visibly stimulating as possible, but it just doesn't even come close to what it really is. And, you know, those camera shots on the players waiting patiently to hear their name. There's just too many ways. It's just a way better scenario when it's a live draft and there's fans reacting in the stands. And again, you're going to Montreal, one of the best cities with the best hockey atmospheres and a great arena, and they had the first overall pick. So it's a great way to come back to the live draft and things back to normal with having that scenario for the Montreal Canadiens, and never mind the Jets having two picks in the first round.
Yeah, sadly, I like him being more in person than...
Yes.
Yeah, it's fun.
But we're doing this on Zoom right now, Don. I love talking to you on Zoom, but it's way better to see your work and talking back, you know, face to face, and I can see your reactions, and we have a little bit of laughs here and there, and you just talk flat out hockey. This is great. It's the only way we're gonna get this done. You have your things to do at night. I've got my things to do at night. But let's keep the draft the hell away from Zoom for as long as possible.
Oh yeah, and. Yeah, that's the things, like, it's nice to, like, doing it, like, easier if you have a time crunch and you just do it on Zoom or phone call. Yeah, but it's like, if you have time to do it in person, you can do it. It's a lot easier.
Way better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's free agency the 13th of July,
mm-hmm.
the week after.
Yeah.
So... That's the thing. It's like, where be the Jets be at that point through after the draft, and are they going
to
trade Wheeler, trade Shifley, those guys, right? So then they have to look at that, then look at the who's available as free agency, right?
Right, and if you have at that point traded Blake Wheeler, you freed up some cap space. But to me, you know, we've already heard from Darren Dreger that Jets are trying to be creative and the possibility of moving the captain. That's going to probably, being creative is going to have to be, you know, taking some of the salary on and possibly sweetening the pot with a draft pick or a prospect, right? So it's just, you know, Blake Wheeler will always be a point per game player. He's lost a step, but there is no questioning how productive he is when he's healthy. So I look at last year as an unfortunate circumstance for him because he got COVID early on. Took some wind out of him, took a while to get going. And then when he got going again, remember, Donald, they reunited Shifley, Wheeler, and Connor, and that line was really humming. And you go into Vancouver and Wheeler gets hurt, a knee injury, and he's out for a while. But when he comes back, it took him a bit to get going, obviously, with a knee injury, and then becomes a point per game player. So to me, when he's healthy, he's going to be a point per game player and be very productive. And is it going to be a bad thing if he's back here? Absolutely not. But yeah, at some, I look at some teams and you look at the Vancouver Canucks and how long they held on to Daniel and Henrik Sedin. Could they have moved him and got something for him, right? And it was great the way they went out. They scored in overtime in the final game. It was all emotional, everything like that. And I look at the Calgary Flames, and as great as a player that Jerome Iginla was, and I covered that team for a long time, he was a fantastic person, great captain, but the Flames probably could have got way more for him and moved on from him because there just wasn't a situation where they were going to win a championship with him. And that is not a knock to Jerome Iginla. It's not a knock to the Sedin twins. Just at some point, you got to move on. And there's always this thing, well, you want him to retire as a Jet or a Flame or as a Canuck. And that just doesn't work in today's NHL, right? It's always teams are always getting younger. Players are always, the young guys coming in are ready to go a lot better than they were the years past when Blake Wheeler came to the NHL. It just almost seems like it's that situation. So, and then with Mark Scheifele, I thought after the end of last year, I'm like, okay, maybe that's it. That there's no way he can come back. But now I'm like, I don't think Kevin Cheveldayoff gave up Patrick Laine and Jack Roslovic to get Pierre-Luc Dubois. And you have that Scheifele Dubois 1-2 punch up the middle. I don't think you want to step away from that right now, especially if you're trying to get back into the playoffs. And you're not going to get. We've seen Chevy pull off some miracles before. He's great at making trades. It's just going to be so hard to get full value for Mark Scheifele, who's going to be a point per game player and possibly a 100-point player in this league for a while. So that, in that situation, I just don't see a place where they could do it. But we've seen Cheveldayoff and company come up with some big deals in years past. But as of this moment, I think that'll be 55 and 80, your number one and two centers, and you'll fly with that to start the next season.
Yeah, it's like with the Jets have that New York Rangers pick we got from them.
Yeah,
they could flip that with Wheeler and something different, right? Because it's a lower draft pick, and you still have the 14th pick, right? So.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where you're getting creative, right? And that's exactly what we were saying. So it's just, I'm sure when you made the deal for Andrew Kopp or sent Andrew Kopp to the Rangers, you're not sitting there going, oh, we're going to trade Blake Wheeler with this pick. It's just like you're hoping to get that second pick to add some versatility that first round. It is not going to be boring. It's already in Montreal. This will not be, but we've seen in years past where they get us all fired up for the draft. There's going to be some big deals at the draft this year. And I remember for years, Eric Carlson, oh, yeah, for sure he's getting traded this year at the draft when he was still with the Ottawa Senators. And it's harder to make that happen. But this could be a very interesting Thursday and Friday in our lives at the NHL draft for the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, it's like when I was at the 2011 draft, Brent Burns got traded from Minnesota to San Jose for Devin Sanducci, Charlie Carl in the first round, I think.
You're sitting there and all of a sudden we have a trade. Like, I mean, is there anything better than that? There's not. I mean, outside of the picks and stuff like that, the draft is that. But it's, again, the next wave of stars coming into the league. But, man, when Commissioner Gary Bettman says, we have a trade, yes, please. Let's hear that over and over again in the first round on Thursday night.
Yeah, and I like him when he says that, then you're kind of like, oh, is it going to be like Jets or who's going to be involved, right? So is it going to be pick right next, right?
Exactly. And even Vancouver's talking about moving JT Miller and stuff. So it's just there is, with the cap being pretty much flat, going up only $1 million, there's going to be some movement in the National Hockey League in this offseason. It's just how does it start? And there's always that domino effect. It's just how tight the wallets and purses are right now because the lack of funds. We will not be bored on Thursday and Friday because it's been boring. I'm not going to lie. Waiting for Barry Trotz was like torture. Hanging around waiting for some type of news. Then you get to find out he's not coming, which is fine. I totally understand that. I get it. You know, you're making $4 million to sit back and for, you know, to take, to breathe for a second. And as he said, it's 25 years he's been coaching. So I give anybody that wants to take that time a ton of credit, and it must have been hard for him. So we waited for that for so long. Now we're, you know, we're all waiting on pins and needles to see who the head coach is going to be, because then after that, he's got to hire his assistant coaches. And this is all going to happen before the draft. So at some point where it's been very dry here for you, me, any other Winnipeg Jet fan or anybody else that covers the team, you're just waiting. But I think this is going to be a huge snowball effect of things happening all at once right away here.
And yeah, today's talking about coaches. The Jets were talking to Andrew Burnett, who is the interim coach for Florida Panthers.
Yeah, and why wouldn't they? Because like Dave Lowry, he was put into an extremely difficult situation because of what happened with Joel Quenneville. I mean, you, if you're Andrew Burnett, you're not thinking, oh, I'm coaching this team this year at all. You're going, I'm helping out Joel Quenneville develop and build and turn this team into one of the best in the NHL, which they were during the regular season. So I think you have, if you're doing your due diligence, which the Jets are, you have to talk to Andrew Burnett. And, you know, it's a little, I imagine it's a little bit tough for him to be removed as a head coach, but I look at what Florida gave up last year to get Claude Giroux and Ben Chiarot and turn this team into, you know, a possible Stanley Cup contender, and you're a little short on draft picks. You need to win now. And Paul Maurice is the right guy for that. And, you know, it's unfortunate for Andrew Burnett, but this is a guy that not so much has something to prove, but has already proven that he can do things with a talented group, which the Winnipeg Jets are. So let's just stop any idea that this team is on the downturn. It's a very talented hockey team that just had an off year. And whoever the coach of this team is a lucky guy because he's going to have lots to work with.
And I heard Scar O'Neill is linked to the Jets too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Manitoba Moose connection, Winnipeg Jets 1.0. He understands exactly what Winnipeg is. He understands the winners. He understands the fans. That is as close to a guess as a perfect fit as well. You know, Barry Trotz being from here and stuff like that. But Scott O'Neill gets it and is a good coach on top of that. So that's not being said enough. There's enough. I think we have to get rid of this attitude. I'm not speaking for everybody. I know a lot of people are disappointed it's not Barry Trotz, but there's enough decent coaches out there to guide this team to where they think they want to go. So there shouldn't be you know, funerals going on here or giving up on the Winnipeg Jets. There's still some great coaching candidates out there. Whoever it is, again, is going to be, will have, you know, the keys to a very fine machine.
Yeah, and then there's like Alan Vanilla's another Moose connection and been here with us. And there's other coaches out there too. So.
Like Rick Tockett. Pascal, you probably said Pascal Vincent too, Don. And there's enough out there. I mean, listen, Jim Montgomery, great coach as well. So it's just, it's not like it's second place here, not getting Barry Trotz. It's unfortunate. It's like a perfect, seems like a perfect fit, perfect marriage. Barry Trotz is looking for stability. This is a great place to be because of, you've only had two coaches. If Paul Maurice had stepped down, you've had the same general manager. There is loyalty within the organization. You have all that. So whoever the coach is going to have the exact same leash that whoever Barry Trotz would have had, because again, it's a team built to win now and probably have a 2-year window. Cause you got Blake Wheeler, Mark Scheifele, Connor Hellebuck, all with expiring contracts, 2 years, Pierre-Luc Dubois, whoever that shakes down. So you have 2-year window. It looks like to get things done here before you move on to the next wave of Jets.
And like, yeah, everyone has their opinion on their coaches. And can't make everyone happy, especially in a small
market. What is everybody talking about right now outside of the never ending rain that we just had and how they fixed their backyards and the flooding that they've had in their houses? It's been about the coach. And I had a guy, I was standing at Starbucks getting the coffee, and some guy gave me a suggestion, Mike Keane should be the next head coach of the Jets. So, I mean, that's what there is. That's, you see a Jets logo, you start talking about the coach, and that is the beauty of playing in the smallest market and being in the smallest market in the National Hockey League. It is on the topic 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
Oh, yeah. And so, yes, I don't want to be Chevy within the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
No.
Oh. So
he's not sleeping. I'll tell you that right now. He's probably not sleeping very much at all. So, and, you know, this is probably a stressful time, and it's a – but, I mean, you still have to look at the roster and go, okay, I have the pieces here. There's just a lot of pressure to do certain things, and probably there is this thought that a move has to be made to kind of put last year in the rearview mirror, which I am hoping within that dressing room and everyone's off at their respective places in the summer that they have put that behind it, because – that, my friend, was a difficult year for everybody.
And KFC won a trophy this year.
Yeah, it's, I mean, Lady Bing, and the fact that that guy plays as many minutes as he does and plays as hard as he does and, you know, is checked as hard as he does, it's pretty impressive. He only had 4 penalty minutes. Like, and the fact that he can remember both of them, that's the more impressive part, that you remember your 2 penalties. So I'm always marvel when you watch the PGA Tour and the guys will come off and be like, oh, I was on the, yeah, on 17, I used my 3 wood, and then I used my 7 iron. That impresses me. But the fact that Kyle Connor remembered his 2 penalties is impressive to me. So good for him. The Lady Bing, you know, I thought, and Paul Edmonds, my broadcast partner, you know, there was a point there. You're like, okay, man, if the Jets get in the playoffs, you almost have to look at Kyle Connor as a Hart Trophy candidate. And then he got COVID in Buffalo, I think it was, during that ridiculous time where it's just, at that point, he had no symptoms, but the rules are still there. But, you know, it kind of derailed that one. He had an outside shot at 50 goals. But if you make the playoffs, you get 50 goals. You have to be thought as a Hart Trophy candidate at that way. But I'm glad that he got individual accolades. He got all the attention that he deserved this year. You go across the league, you know, walking that after the game against Madison Square Garden, the Jets, of course, lost the Rangers. You just listen to, you know, the stats guys and the media. Oh, that number 81 is something else. Like, yeah, thanks for noticing. It's pretty much been outstanding for the last 5 years here. So it's, you know, for him to get the attention he deserves is well-deserved.
Yeah, I've seen him play like with the Moose there, and he did very well with the Moose.
Mm-hmm.
And he's...
Remember, yeah, it wasn't just one in, right? He went back to the minors, went to Manitoba. Matthew Perreault gets hurt, and he has called up 17-18, and we all know what happened from since then. It's just been the Kyle Connor show, so... it's funny how those things work out, but you're right. He had a great run in the American Hockey League.
And, yeah, that's the thing. Like, for him at that time, I think it was better for him to go down there, play, and wait for that spot to open up, and it did. And
it was like 7 games in. Like, but you can't tell somebody that at the time. Like, you're emotional about that whole thing. You think you belong in the National Hockey League, and every player who has confidence in themselves, you can understand why they would feel that way. But it's funny how all it took was 7 games. And then the Kyle Connor show rolled on from there.
Yeah, and I got his special jersey, Pro Bear jersey. He wore it for that one game. I have it hanging up in my closet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Along with the $8,000 other dollars worth of memorabilia. Oh, I shouldn't say anything because people are going to break into your bedroom and steal all your stuff. I will not describe exactly what you have in your room there, Don. We'll keep it a secret.
Wait, the stuff right here behind me, that's only part of it.
That's all he has, everybody. That's all he has.
Yeah, and it's a couple of bobbleheads. That's all.
Yeah, yeah, no big deal.
Yeah, and... So... I'd be like bobbleheads next year, and I think they do like 2 a year for the Moose right now. And
yeah, well, I'll tell you this: like the funny part, we get the odd occasional bobblehead from at work, and my kids don't care. Like we've moved here; we've been here 5 years. I'm like, you guys want one of these bobbleheads? No, thank you. Like I just see people falling over themselves, so I always end up giving it to a friend of mine's kids or something like that. So. I find it funny that I've been in hockey for so long and my kids could care less about anything to do with hockey.
Since like the Moose came back for the 15-16 year, I have all the bobbleheads from that, and then I have a Hollebuck line, a Ehlers, Truba. So I haven't got all the current Trent's ones since they were since day one. So
I've I know who to give my next one to, right? We'll talk, buddy.
Yeah. And it's like my brother has every single one since the Jets returned, and so he has a bigger bobblehead collection than I do.
I think you should just go over and steal them. You got to do it slowly, though. You got to go into the back part of the collection and pull them out one at a time. So, like, one every month. He won't even notice.
I think he would.
He would? He's got an inventory going? Okay, so maybe, like, one a year. Like, slowly do it. Like, when he gets a new one, just take an old one.
Yeah, and so, yeah, that's... And congratulations to Colorado on winning their... Third Stanley Cup, 3-for-3.
Oh, man. Yeah, like, first off, hats off to the Tampa Bay Lightning. That is an unbelievable, unprecedented run during a salary cap era for them to be as good as they were. And I think if Nikita Kucherov isn't beat up and Braden Point isn't beat up, there's probably a good chance they have a three-peat. But full respect, and Colorado just looked like they could skate forever, and Tampa looked tired for a large part of that series. And having watched, you know, going into Denver twice this year, watching them just get buzzsawed there 7-1 one time, and then they were up 3-0 after one period, and then Colorado scored 6 straight. It's just, Ball Arena is a terrifying place to go to watch the Jets play. It's just, and it's, I'm not knocking the team, it's just how good Colorado is at home. And, you know, I remember them, the Jets beating Colorado on New Year's Eve, and I can't remember, I think it was 2018. It's such a huge win, man. Like, you're flying out of there and you beat a very good hockey team. But Jared Bednar, what that was, Donald, is I think what Colorado is to everybody, and they should always look at this as every year Colorado didn't win the Stanley Cup, everyone's like, blow it up, make changes. And Joe Sakic stayed, was patient. He kept the coach, kept the core group of players together, just kept adding little pieces here and there. And this is what happens when you don't blow things up every time things go your way. So you can look, if you look, if the Jets not making the playoffs this year, all you got to do is look and go, okay, Calgary was terrible last year. Daryl Sutter comes in, kind of looks things over for a little bit, then turns them into what they are. You know, Jacob Markstrom has a great year. That, to me, is the blueprint, I think, for what the Jets can do next year. Connor Hellebuck, is the goaltender that we expect him to be, and some tinkering with the roster. You just have to be patient. And not saying the Jets are going to win the Stanley Cup, but they are a playoff team, in my opinion, with this current roster, never mind the tinkering that could be done in the offseason.
I looked at the rosters they put out. The first line for Colorado was... old draft players.
Gross.
Old draft McKinnon, their captain, and I can't.
Landeskog.
I can't remember who the other guy was there, but it was like draft.
Mikko Rantanen, man. Yeah, just like to me, I look at Edmonton drafting Ryan Nugent Hopkins, and I've always thought that Gabriel Landeskog should have been first overall. No question in my mind. Like, just a guy that was born to lead. And you can get that guy in the first. I know centermen are more prestigious in that position. Gabriel Landeskog's a winger. But, man, I just think of how different the Edmonton Oilers would look right now if they had him. So, and then you look at their back end, Cale Makar. You know, Bowen Byram got a full year. Eric Johnson is a guy that was drafted first overall. He's like your third defense pairing. It is a deep, deep team of talent. So, and, you know, you throw in Lauri Lehkonen into the mix, who was great for the Montreal Canadiens last year. And, I mean, it's a well-oiled machine that was built from top to bottom. And you have to give Joe Sakic and company a lot of credit.
And then, like, the second line was, like, someone they drafted and someone they signed and someone they traded. So it's like,
yeah, Nazem Kadri is going to be a rich dude this season, by the way. So he's probably going to be the one of the richest people coming out of this offseason.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, from second line down is like either they're drafted or they're traded or like or they're like signed. So it's like, so that's the thing. Like then the goaltending like is good too. Like the backup is Fantrues. So I'm playing with the Eagles a couple years ago and
They're going to be tough to deal with again next year too. I don't know how that was going to work out with Nazem Kadri, but I don't think, you know, Alex Newhook is another option. They could probably move in that second center slot. There's just, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that Joe Sakic will be able to reload and see what he can do again next year with this group.
Yeah, and yes, be different next year. So,
yep. Change, like Paul Maurice used to say, there's changes every year, even when you win the Stanley Cup, and that's exactly what's going to happen with the Colorado Avalanche, but they'll be fine.
Yeah, and Joe Sakic is a smart man, too, and great player. Yeah. And
pretty good player, buddy.
Yeah.
Pretty good player.
All right. Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure, man.
And drive safely. And talk to you like in like a few weeks, see if what changes there is.
Yeah, we'll talk when the dust settles after free agency. Let's do this again.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, buddy. See you, pal.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Front Row Podcast. Download the show on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts. Contact us on Twitter or Instagram at Podcast Front Row and join in the conversation. Catch us next time on the Front Row Podcast.